Let's turn together in our Bibles. Our text is going to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And our focus is going to be particularly on verse 2. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2. But we'll be reading the first 5 verses together. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at a few of the surrounding verses as well in the context. But let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that's page 1137. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. That's as far as the reading, particularly focus on verse 2, that the Israelites were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you are to think of the most well-known Old Testament narrative event that took place in the book of Exodus, I suspect that along with the 10 plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea would be at the top of your list. We've all pictured this in our mind, this great host, a million plus Israelites standing on the edge of the Red Sea. Moses comes to the cliff, to the bank, raises his hands, and the breath, the wind of the Lord goes forth and drives back the sea, and it stands at great heaps, great walls of water on either side of them. And the Israelites pass through the midst of the sea. The Lord paves a way for them. They walk on dry, firm ground through the Red Sea. And then after the Israelites are through, the Lord speaks to Moses again. Raise your hand again, Moses. Speak to the wind. And the wind stops. And the water returns to its place. And the Egyptians are overthrown. But did you know that when you consider the crossing of the Red Sea, God is actually teaching us about baptism? When we're reading the Red Sea crossing, the Lord is teaching us about the covenant. Today with Anna's baptism, we have the opportunity to remember the symbolism and meaning of baptism, which is a truth already revealed in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ baptizes his people at the Red Sea as he calls them to faith. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ is baptizing his people at the Red Sea as he calls them to faith. In our first point, we consider who it is that receives this sign of baptism. As you read this passage here in 1 Corinthians 10, we ask ourselves the question, who was baptized? Who passed through the water, who passed through the sea? In our first verse here, we find that it was our fathers who were under the cloud and passed through the sea. And referring to the fathers, Paul is pointing to the Old Testament saints and specifically the 12 tribes of Israel. He's referring to the sons of Jacob, the recipients of the covenant, those who had received the signs and the wonders, those to whom the prophets and the priests and the kings of the Lord had ministered. It is to the seed of Abraham that this sign is given, the ones with whom the Lord had covenanted, with whom the Lord had spoken, that he gives this sign. But more than just the fathers, there is a specific focus on the inclusiveness of this group. In reading these first verses, you find all passed through the sea, all were baptized, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. The focus is on the all aspect, the inclusive nature. There is a distinct focus on the inclusive aspect of the covenant. This would include male, female, old and young. Anyone who shared the identity as being an Israelite was baptized, passed through the water. So the question before us this morning is this: who should receive the sign of baptism? Who is baptism for? And the answer is, with everyone that the Lord covenants. If the Lord covenants with you, then the sign of baptism is for you. That is why we include our children. The children of believers are to receive the sign of baptism, the sign of the sacrament of the covenant, because the Lord includes them. And that's why we have included little Anna here today. Lord's Day 27 puts it like this. The infant children of believers are included in God's covenant people. They, no less than adults, are promised the deliverance from sin by the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That is why we here at our church talk about household baptism or covenantal baptism. That just as parents, as they passed through the Red Sea, were carrying their children, their little infants in their arms, those infants were baptized into Moses, into the Red Sea. So it continues even this day with covenantal baptism, that Mike and Kim carry their little child to the baptismal font this morning. The identity as a child of God is one who is holy, who is set apart, who receives the promises of God, and therefore the sign of the covenant is for them as well. But that brings us to our second point. Who is it into whose name were they baptized? Who is the leader of those who bring the people through the water? Who is the shepherd that guided them both into the water and out of the water? Our passage is very clear. In the Old Testament, the shepherd, the leader of the covenant, was Moses. They were baptized into the name, into the mediator of Moses. Moses was a prophet par excellence. He is the one through whom God spoke. It was by Moses' word that the plagues had been justly inflicted upon the Egyptians. It was by Moses' prayer that the people were spared and God's wrath was turned away. Moses was the mouthpiece of God. God spoke to Moses, and Moses then spoke to his people. God uses the ministry of Moses to secure manna and even water from the rock. So our passage says in verse 2, they were all baptized into Moses. Being baptized here is a way of identifying the people with their leader. It is a union between God and their God-appointed mediator, the one who spoke to God from them and the one who spoke to them from God. He was the one who went in between, who bridged the gap between God and man. Baptism is a way of unifying and identifying people with their God-given leader. It was by Moses' hand that the law had been delivered. Moses' face shone like the brilliant sun because he had seen, he had spoken, he had talked with God. And it was at his hand, his words, that God used to part, to calm the raging sea. It was by his hands that were raised to bless the people in the benediction by which they were spared from the hands of their enemies. It was by his hand that spiritual food and spiritual drink was secured. And even though his actions were motivated by sinful anger, it was his hands that used the staff to strike the rock and cause that rock to bring forth water. Remember, children, the Lord had told Moses, speak to the rock, but Moses was angry and he struck the rock, and yet God used him to cause water to flow forth from the rock. Oh, and by the way, the rock is Christ. This seamlessly transitions. The rock that Moses struck was Christ. Paul seamlessly transitions from Moses in the Old Testament to Jesus Christ as the mediator of the new covenant. Moses led the Israelites through the sea and cut covenant with the Israelites at Mount Sinai. But Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Moses is presented here as a shadow, picture, if you will, a type of the coming Christ. Where Moses was the one who would receive the law, Jesus is the very Word of God. In fact, Moses may have been the one who was used instrumentally to bring manna, which was heavenly bread, or water from the rock. Jesus Christ is called the bread of life, the true heavenly bread. And Jesus Christ is the rock from whose side healing waters flow. Jesus Christ not only provides food for our souls, he not only provides it, he is the food for our souls. As we celebrate with the Lord's Supper, we eat and drink him for forgiveness of sins and unto eternal life. Romans 6, verse 3 puts it this way: we are baptized into Christ, and we are baptized into his death. It is interesting to note that not only did Moses lead the Israelites to the Red Sea, he partook himself in the baptism. Moses shares in the baptism. He represents those who follow him. In a similar way, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he himself was baptized. He, identifying with his people, he says this in Matthew chapter 3, speaking to John, "It was necessary for me to be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness." So as Moses led the people into the water and was baptized with them in the sea, so Jesus Christ is baptized for us, and we are baptized into him. Yet of all the great, wonderful ministry that Moses was able to perform, Moses himself recognized the need for someone greater who would come after him. Deuteronomy 18, Moses says this: "The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me among you. It is to him that you shall listen." So we are called, even by Moses, to follow and listen to the perfect prophet, priest, and king, the divine mediator of the new covenant, Jesus Christ, by being baptized into his name. Well, now that we've considered the mediator of the covenant, in our last point, we look at the meaning of baptism here signified. Now, the name of the sea, we call it the Red Sea, is not telling us the color of the water. The word red is derived from the word for reed or bulrush. It describes the cattail-like plants that grow on the edge of the sea. It was also found on the Jordan River as well. And as a sign, this particular baptism in the Red Sea is your classic good news, bad news sermon. In being baptized, it is a sign that includes a promise of blessing, but also a warning of woe. What makes the difference when you look at the blessings or the curse of the covenant is, who are you following? Who is your leader? If Pharaoh is your leader, if Pharaoh is your mediator, if you have covenantal ties to the kingdom of Pharaoh, the Red Sea is not good news for you. Because what happens to you at the Red Sea, if you are following Pharaoh or the kings of men or Satan, when you follow them, you go into the Red Sea and you are destroyed. It is your doom. But for those who are united with the true God-appointed mediator, the Red Sea becomes your path to salvation. So at the Red Sea, there is both a picture of death and a picture of life. It's death for those Egyptians who entered the water and never came out. The Lord overthrows them, and their dead bodies are scattered on the shore of the sea. The Red Sea really becomes the death of a nation. As the Egyptian army goes forth and is swallowed whole, and is plunged to the depth of hell, the Egyptian army is wiped out in a single day without a single arrow being shot. in an interesting twist. The same Pharaoh who tried to wipe out the Israelites by drowning their babies in the water. Remember he made that commandment, all little babies had to be cast into the Nile. He himself is drowned in the depth of the sea. But for the Israelites, there is also an aspect of death that is taking place. Up to this point, the Israelite nation was a nation of slaves. They served at the pleasure of Pharaoh. Their identity as being a slave is being washed away. The door is opened for them to come out of bondage, out of the house of slavery, and after they pass through, that door is shut. In other words, you can't go back. There is no road that leads you back to slavery. That old man, that old life, your old identity is dead. Put to death, dead and buried. But there is also life. New birth. A new nation. New people are being brought forth out of the Red Sea. There is an imagery. The people coming up out of the water is like a child emerging from the womb. These are new people, a new nation. Being baptized into Moses means that they were going from the land of bondage and slavery to the land of promise, blessings, peace, and rest. Now, this whole example in this whole narrative in Exodus 14 is a narrative given to us as an example. If you still have your passage open, look at verse 6. Now, these things took place as an example for us. What's taking place in Exodus 14 is an example to New Testament Christians, New Covenant members. What happened to the Egyptians and what happened to the Israelites is meant to teach us something. But what are we supposed to learn? Well, it is interesting that our passage once again focuses on the warning aspect. Be careful as you consider your life, as you consider your way. Be careful what you think, what you learn about the Red Sea, and what you think you know about your own baptism. Do not assume that you are in the right today. Because as verse 5 clearly says, what happened with the Israelites is almost every single one of them died in the wilderness. They received the sign, they received the sacrament, if you will, being baptized into Moses. And every one of them, almost every single one, to the man, woman, and child, everyone who is under younger age may have been brought to the promised land, but everybody who is of older age died in the wilderness. As our passage clearly says, God was not pleased with most of them. So the vast majority of those who were baptized into the Red Sea died in the wilderness. What happened? Why did so many of them die in the wilderness? Well, if you still have your Bibles open, you look at what happened. The Red Sea is not the end of the narrative in Exodus. What happened with the Israelites is they grumbled, they complained, they were idolaters, they were adulterers, sexual immorality. And God was not pleased. Those who were baptized into Moses ended up missing out on the promised land, because they received the sign of the covenant, but they did not embrace the God of the covenant with a heart of faith. They were idolatrous, verse 8 says. They took along with them in their hearts the gods of Egypt and quickly embraced the gods of the nations. So the baptism at the Red Sea under the leadership of Moses is set before us principally as a warning. Do not eat the spiritual food and drink the spiritual drink while forsaking the rock from whose side these blessings flow. Do not be washed in the water as the Israelites were, without being united to Christ by faith and being washed in his blood. Do not content yourselves with the sign while forsaking the meaning behind the sign. To say this another way, everyone who is baptized externally must embrace Jesus Christ with a heart of faith. Don't go through the motions while neglecting the mediator. Baptism is a wonderful blessing. It is a sign, a seal, a picture, a promise of what Jesus Christ has done and promises to do. But those who are washed externally must be washed internally. In the Old Testament, the prophets put it like this: you were circumcised externally, but you are hard and rebellious in your hearts. You need to be circumcised internally. For us as Christians, we are baptized externally. We need to be baptized internally as well. For without faith in Jesus Christ, the water of baptism does you no good. Just as those who are baptized at the Red Sea did not benefit, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Receiving the sign is no substitute for faith and repentance. So the application is very simple and very pointed. Paul puts it like this: as an illustration, learn this truth. Do not be like the Israelites who are baptized into Moses, who received the sign, but missed out on the promised land because of their rebellion and idolatry. It is only those who embrace Jesus Christ with a heart of faith that will be brought into the promised land. And for those of you who are united to the rock, Jesus Christ, baptism points to your new and eternal life, because although most of them did not arrive, some did. As you follow Jesus Christ, you too will pass through the waters of death and enter eternal life, the promised land, the heavenly land of rest. Baptism points you to your new and eternal promised life that you receive in Jesus Christ. As we close, baptism is a wonderful picture of the power of Jesus Christ's blood. As Lord's Day 27 puts it like this: only Jesus' blood and the Holy Spirit can cleanse us from all our sins. As in our passage in Exodus 14, the water was parted by the divine wind. So the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus Christ must be present and working in order for us to be truly clean. As our theme states, Jesus Christ baptized his people at the Red Sea as a call to faith. So let us learn from the Israelites of old. Believe in Jesus Christ, be washed in his blood, and you will be clean. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this a stirring reminder of the need for cleansing. May we embrace Jesus Christ by your Spirit and be washed in his blood. May we never content ourselves with the externals, but may we embrace, may we believe, may we receive internal spiritual cleansing from Jesus Christ, our rock. In his name we pray. Amen.